MTV.
I want my MTV.
Call your cable company and say I want my MTV.
Turn it on. Leave it on. America, see the music you want to see.
I want my MTV. All right.
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV. Ow!
24 hours a day on cable TV.
I want my MTV, MTV, MTV!
Yeah, too much is never enough.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that is guaranteed to raise your wrestling IQ and your IQ about any topic that we may cover, whether it be movies or politics or even music, which is what we're going to be talking about today. This is Handsome Dan's Final Say. I, of course, am your host, Handsome Dan Lopez. And joining me in the second chair, once again, is my good pal, Jay Chewbacca. Jay, how you doing today?
Doing very, very good. Very good, sir. It's the second chair. I like that. That's a good little...
Yeah. You're riding shotgun.
Name for it. Yeah. Co-pilot, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody needs a good co-pilot. I'm doing good, man. I'm excited about the progress that we're making on the Final Say. It's nice to finally develop some consistency in life in general, but especially in the realm of podcasting. This is about as consistent as I've probably ever been since the days when you and I were reviewing Lucha Underground together.
Wow, which seems 50 years ago.
So very long ago, doesn't it?
It was only, what, five? 5 years ago? 4 years ago?
I'll take your word for it. I can't keep track of time anymore. Yeah.
Wow, we sure thought that was going to change wrestling forever, huh?
Well, I don't know if I was that sold on it, but it was definitely a step in the right direction, that's for sure. Speaking of changing wrestling, by the way, if you're wondering what we're doing today, if you couldn't tell from the title of this episode, which I think is kind of silly, people... when they introduce their podcasts, they always say, oh shit, we need to tell everybody what we're doing today. Well, it should be, I mean, if you've clicked on the episode, you read the description, you should know what we're doing.
I can't imagine anyone not like seeing the description.
Clicking the play and being like, well, I wonder what this podcast is about.
Was there just a bumbling Magoo or something, you know.
Like, I can't wait for them to tell me what they're going to be talking about. Otherwise, how will I ever know? But yeah, the title says, we're going to be discussing the 1981 album The Dude, produced by Quincy Jones, although he is not featured as a contributor on the album as far as singing. He only provides backing vocals on the title track, The Dude. And that's kind of like a rap that he does. It's not really singing because he's not a singer. He's a multi-instrumentalist, but he's most well known for being buku time Grammy award winning producer, and
right,
you know, he's just a music mogul, the definition of a music mogul if there ever was one.
Would it be fair to say icon? I mean, I know that's a strong word.
Hell but... yeah. Okay. Hell yeah. Quincy Jones is you can't get, I mean, I don't hear his name very often. Like, you hear, I almost feel like you hear, what's his name? Phil Spector?
Oh, yeah, the crazy Afro guy.
Yeah, the guy who...
That's how I know him.
Wasn't he a pederast or something like that?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. That's unfortunate.
And he ran off and hid in France or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, I almost feel like you hear his name floating around, and maybe that's because of the controversy. But you hear him touted as a genius, but holy shit, Quincy Jones has had way more to do with great music in the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years.
Right.
Than a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that.
Just to name a few, Michael Jackson, anyone from Motown, right?
Yeah.
I mean, name them.
James Ingram, who makes his debut on this very album.
MVP of the album. I'll go ahead and say that right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, he definitely got recognition for it, too. But yeah, we'll get into all that as we play the album. We're going to listen to it. You're going to listen to it with us, and we're going to talk over it. So it won't be necessarily a clean listen because you're going to hear our voices as we discuss it. But you'll still be able to get the gist of what makes it good. And then you can decide for yourself. If you've never listened to it before, you know, add it to one of your playlists on Spotify. Go out and buy the record. I mean, you can't go wrong with the dude. So trust us. You're in for a good time. I got off on something
minute ago. We're going to change wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Changing the face of wrestling. Yeah. Holy shit. I saw a thing on Twitter this morning, and it was two women wrestling. Vicky Guerrero's at ringside. One chick runs in and attacks the other one, and then another chick runs in and attacks them and evens the odds. And then Matt Hardy comes out with two guys, and they start talking. Mm-hmm. They're running an angle or whatever. And yeah. I just retweeted it. It was direct from this is AEW, by the way, that we're talking about, All Elite Wrestling.
Yes.
And it was from their Twitter account. So this was a post that they shared from their show. A clip from their show that they shared on their Twitter account. And I just retweeted it and said, this is fucking pathetic. Because it's Impact Wrestling, first of all. It looks exactly like Impact Wrestling. So, you know how you and I were talking about Lucha Underground and how we thought that was going to change the wrestling landscape. Mm-hmm. At least it looked, I mean, it didn't, obviously. We all know that Lucha Underground met an untimely demise. And I think that has more to do with contractual obligations and just not being able to shore up the talent the way they wanted to more than anything else. Because storylines had to end right in the middle and end awkwardly. And people had to be killed off, you know, off screen because they weren't under contract anymore. And just a mess backstage was the biggest issue with Lucha Underground, I think. But at least when you tuned into the show, whether you liked the style of what they were doing or not, it was distinct. Like, it was different. When you looked at this product, Lucha Underground, you could tell you were looking at something that wasn't WWE. It wasn't Impact Wrestling. It wasn't just a copy, whether a good copy or a bad copy, of everything you've ever seen before. It was different. And I look at AEW, and they're always blowing smoke about how they're going to change the wrestling landscape and set the world on fire and blah, blah, blah. And it looks just like Impact Wrestling. And Impact Wrestling looks like, you know, bootleg WWE. WWE looks great. I'm not going to lie.
It looks mm-hmm. fantastic. They've got all the bells and whistles. They got a light up apron around the ring. And I don't like any of that stuff. But I mean, at least it looks like this is a big fucking deal. They've got the big, you know, intros and pyro or smoke and mirrors and all that shit. I'm not crazy about any of that stuff, but at least they put some effort into it and it looks good.
You got the Thunderdome.
Yeah, the fucking Thunderdome.
Pal.
But when I see AEW and I saw this clip, I'm like, this looks like some ghetto ass shit.
Yeah, so women were, I haven't seen this week's show yet.
You're better off.
Oh, okay.
if this clip is any indication,
so
you're better off.
What the women were, I don't think I've seen the clip you're referring to. So,
well, I use the term women loosely because I think one of them was the tranny.
Oh, the big one. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And no, I'm not going to call him a her because it's not a her. It's a him.
Right, right. That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So what exactly happened? Like, was the work terrible? Well, I'm sure the work was terrible, but like, does the physicality look phony or what was the deal?
Exactly? Just okay. So like I don't watch AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say I'm AEW and I'm like, we got to put something out there to show everybody what's up. Like, what we're all about, why they should tune into this week's show. And they put this out there. And it just looks so 2021 pro wrestling. There is nothing about this show that would interest me if I don't watch 2021 pro wrestling. I don't watch 2021 pro wrestling because it fucking sucks.
Right.
And this
was
not going to change my mind. It was just more 2021 pro wrestling. Like, the reason wrestling nerds care is because it's AEW, it's Vicky Guerrero, it's Matt Hardy, it's these young independent workers that everyone shits themselves over. That's the reason why wrestling nerds would care about seeing this clip floating around on Twitter. But me, somebody who doesn't watch 2021 pro wrestling, I don't give a shit. This looks like garbage. And I have no interest whatsoever in tuning into this crap.
I finally did see that clip you're talking about. Maybe
we talked about Luchasaurus, that one?
Yeah, Luchasaurus. Yeah.
Oh, God. Couldn't believe that made air.
That was rotten, wasn't it?
And it's a pre-recorded show. It's their dark show. It wasn't their live show. They could have clipped that out.
Yeah.
But that's how little they care about the presentation.
Right. Exactly. Like,
they know that these fucking nerds are going to watch this shit regardless. So they don't care.
My favorite part is, did you hear the, because you know how they have the other wrestlers around the ring?
Or maybe
you don't know that. You just say you don't watch. Don't watch it.
I've seen something to that effect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, when the awkwardness in the ring is happening, you can hear people like clapping, encouraging their fellow man.
That's okay, Luchasaurus. You'll do it right next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh, it's pathetic. Like, Beyond Wrestling used to do that. They would have basically empty arena shows with just the wrestlers around ringside. But Beyond Wrestling, you know, I give them all the credit in the world. They were working really hard on putting a product together and training new workers and giving them an opportunity to get out there and perform. So I have no problem with Beyond Wrestling and what they were doing at the time. But they're not a nationally televised show, so they could get away with that. Like, you see the wrestlers at ringside making comments and clapping and encouraging their guys, but holy shit. Like,
yeah, that feels like a wrestling school. You're like,
yeah, it feels like class. We're talking about cracks, man.
But in the ring, live on or maybe not live, but you know, on the on their stage, basically. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just my last thing on wrestling these days. To me, there's a couple little, like, you mentioned Impact. Yes, it does look like a WWE light, but as far as creative goes, it's a good little wrestling show, right? Same with, like, MLW. The NWA's coming back. They were doing, they had a pretty good little YouTube show before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, but like the majority of it, like, you know, WWE and AEW especially, God, it makes you think. I see the, like, the Luchasaurus thing and think of guys. I just think of Harley Race. I think of Dusty Rhodes. I think of Bruiser Brody, you know, name them. You know, we could go on and on and on. But
yeah,
like, what has it become? Especially Harley Race, because that was a man's man, you know.
Yeah, I was telling my wife the other day about a story that somebody told about Dusty Rhodes. I don't remember who I heard it from, but about how a crooked promoter had booked a bunch of top names for a show somewhere, and it was kind of a one-shot deal, and the promoter took the house, took the gate, there was the ticket money, and split.
Oh, wow.
Didn't pay any of the workers. And mm-hmm. This is back in the day when Harley Race was still working. Yeah. And, you know, obviously in the locker room, there's talk about, you know, split in two. All the workers are just like, fuck this. I'm not getting paid. I'm not going out there. And Harley Race stood up and said, these people, the people out there paid their hard-earned money to see a show, and we're going to give them a show. Anybody who tries to leave has to deal with me. And I love the fact that he recognized it wasn't the fans' fault. He's right. Those people work hard for their money, and they chose to put their money down to see a wrestling show. They chose to give it to these performers. The fact that the promoter didn't do what he was supposed to do wasn't their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And Harley Race understood that, and he was going to give those people the show that they paid for.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to stand for any of his fellow workers doing otherwise. And I just thought that was incredibly admirable and an example of a certain kind of character that is rare these days.
Yeah. And no one's going to want to deal with Harley Race.
Oh, no, I sure as hell would.
I'm going to say, okay, what are we doing tonight?
You want to work a leg? You want to work an arm? What are we going to do? Speaking of working a leg, our illustrious commander-in-chief, apparently he needs to work on both of his legs.
Oh, because boy.
They weren't working so great for him.
Yeah.
I've seen memes of him being photoshopped into a few Mortal Kombat sequences.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who is it that does the sliding leg sweep? Is that Raiden?
Raiden or Liu Kang. I don't know. One of those.
I saw that where Johnny they were Cage. Doing this. Yeah, they were doing the sliding leg sweep and, you know, Biden busting his ass.
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about the video of Biden falling up the stairs to Air Force One. In case anyone who listening may not know. I don't know how you wouldn't, but...
Well, I know how they wouldn't, because the mainstream media is doing their best to bury it. That's how they wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Never happened. What are you talking about?
Trump had fallen off the stairs, it would be headline news.
Oh, yeah. That would have been... all over the CNNs and the MSNBCs and Rachel Maddow. Yeah.
Mad Cow?
Mad Cow. I like the one where they have Biden in the chair, and they're it's one of those. It's like a stair chair, basically, where you sit in it and it lifts you up the stairs.
Like Mrs. Deagle on the Gremlins?
Exactly. Yes. So that's my favorite one.
Nice. I saw another clip of him today. This was from a press conference where he's sitting at a table. Kamala, the Ugandan giant, is at another table next to him. And he's doing something. I forget. They're signing some official documents or whatever. And all of a sudden, the dementia kicks in. And you could tell he has no idea where he's at or what he's doing. And immediately, his handlers are like, okay, I think it's time for the press to leave. And as they're, you know, ushering everybody out, of course, a million questions are flying. They're trying to get Biden's attention. And he's just looking around the room like a deer in headlights. He has no clue what's going on.
That's scary, man.
Yeah. That's the guy with his finger on the button.
Right. This is supposed to be our leader.
Yeah.
Wow.
The blind leading the blind.
Whereas Trump, man, you can't deny the guy's got charisma and personality and
and for all intents and purposes, and he's sharp as a tack. He might be old, but you can tell he's got his wits about him.
He can still cut a promo.
A
promo.
For sure. Dark times, sir.
Yeah, indeed.
But
the wrestling sucks. The president sucks. It stinks and I don't like it.
At least we still have good music to fall back on. Good classic music. Like 1981's The Dude by Quincy Jones, which we're going to get into on the other side of this break. Myself, Jay Chewbacca's here, and you're here too. And hopefully you'll be here after this break is over. Take a listen to this quick ad, and we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Handsome Dan Lopez, your gracious host, here with Jay Chewbacca, and we are ready to review the 1981 R&B classic album, The Dude, produced by Quincy Jones, featuring a laundry list of studio, I almost said magicians. They might as well be magicians with the kind of musical magic they weave here.
Yes.
But musicians, studio musicians, including the debut of vocalist James Ingram and Patty Austin, also makes an appearance on this album. So some really good stuff. In terms of background information, oh, by the way, Jay, say hi to everybody.
Oh, hey, what's going on, everybody?
I don't want to just breeze over you.
I'm back. We're talking about The Dude.
Yeah.
No, not Jeff Bridges.
No, not that
Big
dude.
Lebowski. No, not this. This is not a Big Lebowski concept album.
No,
by
for
Quincy
sure.
Jones.
I wonder if the dude would like this album, though.
I'm sure the dude would.
He doesn't like the Eagles. We know that much. He can't stand the fucking Eagles.
Fucking Eagles.
But this is not the Eagles. This is better than the Eagles,
no.
In my opinion.
I'm not a big Eagles guy either. I don't know about you.
I mean, Hotel California is an all-timer. I understand that. It's a great song. I'm not going to lie. It's been overplayed to death. I understand.
For sure.
If people don't want to hear Hotel California anymore in their lifetime, I get it. But you have to admit, it's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I just think I've heard it enough times, though.
Oh, yeah. It's like Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. I could go the rest of my life without hearing that fucking song. And I love Def Leppard, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've listened to some other Eagles stuff, and it doesn't do anything for me. But this album, The Dude, does a whole lot for me. And the reason we're doing this album is because this is an edition of the show, which I failed to mention. This is a My Musical Journey edition of the show. And the reason it's called a journey is because we're basically chronicling my history with music, my personal history with music. And it starts just like everybody else does. You know, when you're a kid and you're listening to the things that your parents tend to listen to and expose you to. And then as you grow up, you develop your own taste in music. And, you know, maybe it stays on that same course that your parents set you on, or maybe it veers off of that a little bit. And we'll kind of get into that as we get into the album. But I'm going to go ahead and start playing it here because we're going to need stuff to talk about. We can't just talk about each song for 5 minutes or whatever, right, how long each song is. It's not a long album at all. But, you know, we're going to need other stuff to talk about in the meantime. So I'm just going to go ahead and start playing the music. Before I do, though, Jay, is there anything you wanted to mention?
No, I mean, I like, yeah, you mentioned it's short and sweet. The clock's in at like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, you mentioned like when you grow up, you develop your own taste in music, you know. That really was the case for me, because when I was little, growing up in the east side of San Antonio, Texas, that is, God, I heard pretty much all I heard was like Tejano music, banda.
I can imagine.
Cumbia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, not a lot of. I mean, you hear. I knew like what was on the radio, like pop music and stuff like that, but you know, didn't really hear metal, country, rock and roll.
You probably know. Not a lot of R&B like this either, huh?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No funk, no soul, no anything like that. But as I went into my, especially my teenage years, that's when I really widened my
broadened your horizons.
Taste. Yeah. And now I'm very, very eclectic. Like, there's not a lot of music I don't listen to. Like, I don't listen to classical or opera or symphony or stuff like that. But, I mean, I listen to mostly anything, really.
I think that's how it goes for a lot of people. And that's definitely how it's gone for me. And yeah, I wouldn't want it any other way. It's, I'm actually kind of embarrassed about how much great music is still out there that I haven't experienced. And so that's the whole point behind the My Musical Journey segment on this show. And my own personal musical journey is getting that exposure to new and different types of music. And hopefully this show will expose other people to new and different types of music. Maybe you listen to this show because you like retro movie reviews. Maybe you listen to this show because you want to hear hot takes on professional wrestling. You happen to check out the My Musical Journey editions of the show too, and maybe it's brand new stuff to you that you've never heard before. And if that's the case, then that makes me feel good that we're giving people, you know, we're broadening people's horizons in that way. So let's go ahead and get into it if we are all set here.
Can I tell you one quick little story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So years ago, I had this app. It was a streaming service for music called Slacker. I don't know if it's still around.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay. So Slacker, you have all the access to all of everything, you know, Beatles, the Beatles catalog, the Led Zeppelin catalog, every genre, from all over the world, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have access to everything. And what do? And you can speak into your phone and tell it what you wanted to play, right?
Yeah.
So what do? I have every option in the world. I say AC/DC.
Because why not, right?
I was just always thought that was funny. Like, that's the one I picked. It's like, I don't know, the equivalent of picking Seinfeld when you can watch anything in the world, you know.
So I'm assuming that at some point you branched out of that.
Well, I mean, you know, I still love my AC/DC, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I listen to country music. I listen to I love my Disney tunes as well. Yeah. and my show tunes from Broadway and things like that. And
yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know my love for the Muppets. I've got some Muppets tunes on my everyday playlist.
Very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I even have my favorite wrestling entrance themes that I like to, you know, I'll make a playlist of those once in a while.
Oh, yeah, that's great for psyching yourself up for the workday.
Oh, absolutely.
Bust in there like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I like Demolition's theme.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. Maybe we could do wrestling music someday. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've got no aversion to eventually getting into that as well. But let's go ahead and get this going.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of continue our discussion as we go. But we open things up with the very first track, I No Corita.
Translation, Don't Run Away.
Oh, thank you. I actually didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. I didn't either. I Googled it. Full disclosure.
Okay. Glad to know I'm not alone in that. I am of Hispanic descent, but I do not speak Spanish and have no desire to learn, as a matter of fact. I live in the United States of America.
Right.
English will do.
Same for me. You know, I don't know zero Spanish. I know obviously the basics. But no, I could not carry on a conversation.
So we're on a video call, Jay and myself. We're not in the same room. And so Jay, you folks at home can't see this, but Jay might see me, you know, busting a few moves over here because I just fucking love this album.
Yeah, you were
so
bobbing
much.
Your head a little bit already.
And I hope it doesn't get too loud where it drowns us out. This is kind of an experiment, folks, so you'll have to bear with us. We've never done this before in terms of playing an album and trying to talk over it, so I don't know if we're if it's getting too loud and drowning us out. We're just gonna see how it goes. Okay, this might be a total disaster. It might be a roaring success when we're all said and done. We'll see.
Well, it's very funky right off the bat. I mean, how can you not get to moving? You know.
Oh yeah, for sure. So you can still hear it, all right, on your end.
Yeah.
Okay. So the story behind this album, for me personally, my dad was a huge Motown fan. He loved R&B. That was his go-to. And my mom was a big fan of it, too. And so if they were going to play anything in the house or in the car on family trips and whatnot, it was going to be R&B. And this is the first album. I even went so far as to ask my brother. I reached out to him and said, what is the first album you remember us as kids listening to and really enjoying the whole thing? Because, you know, my parents would play other music too, and, you know, maybe some of it didn't quite hit with us to where we enjoyed the entirety of the album. You know, we would just pick out a few songs here and there. And that's not what I'm interested in doing on my musical journey. I want full albums that are so good that you just end up loving the whole thing. That's what I want. And he agreed with me. He mentioned a few other ones, but pretty much the consensus was The Dude by Quincy Jones. This is as far back as we go in terms of the first album that he and I both as kids remember really latching onto and loving in its entirety.
Gotcha. Wow. I mean, I wish I could remember my first album that I heard. I mean, all I can remember is my dad having, you know, a bunch of cassettes and CDs and mostly cumbia, banda, tejano, whatever you... I think they're all different genres, but they all sound the same.
Is there an artist in any of those genres or a band that sticks out to you that you can name?
Well, right off the top of my head is Selena.
Oh, okay.
You know, Ilos Dinos. It was just funny because I think they recently talked about Selena on Midnight Jury. Like, she came up somehow. I popped for that. And, guys like Gary Hobbs, my mom was in love with this guy named Michael Salgado.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Head over heels, big crush on that guy. There was a band, there was a group called Intocable. That was pretty good. Jennifer Pena. Yeah, I remember a lot of these. Now they're all coming back. Yeah, we could do a mid to late 90s Tejano episode.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Somewhere down the line, kind of getting an intro into what kicked you off on your own personal musical journey.
That would be, God, it would be super nostalgic for me. It would bring back a lot of memories.
Well, that's what this album is for me. Like, the nostalgia, as soon as the first lines of this song, the first beats of this song kick up, I am instantly transported back to my childhood. We had I'm sure it's like a meme now, the big stacked stereo system that, you know, kids grew up with, where it's the stereo that no sound came out of. It's the big stereo. And then on top of that, you got this, which is, the big stereo is just like a radio. I don't even know what else it did. But that's what the sound, that's, you hooked everything up to that, and then you hooked that up to the speakers. And so eventually the sound traveled through that, but that's what had like the volume control and the radio dial and all that stuff. And on top of that, you stacked whatever else you wanted. You stacked a tape deck on top of that. You stacked a record player on top of that, a CD player on top of that. So you had the whole tower of music,
yeah,
and that plugged into two big speakers. We had the speakers that were almost as tall as I was as a kid, and that's what the sound came out of. You can press play all day long, but if you don't have it connected to the speakers, you're not going to hear anything. But this album immediately transports me back to that place. All right, this is the title track, The Dude.
Ah, The Dude. Not Big Lebowski.
Right, not Big Lebowski. Just the like, funk is the word of the day when it comes to this album.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So damn funky.
I need to get more into the funk. Like, I know, like, I'm a big Earth, Wind & Fire fan.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Love them. What's the... one guy, now I'm blanking. He's got the wild dreads, black guy. George Clinton.
George Clinton, that's right.
Yes, and the Parliament Funkadelic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Bow Wow Wow. Yippee-o, yippee-ay.
Yeah.
I've heard a little bit of them. That's really it. I mean, do you know any more? You got any funk recommendations?
You know what's interesting? You probably rattled off more names than I could, because I'm not a fan of funk music.
Okay.
I'm bigger on the funk R&B blend like you have going on here.
Right.
So okay. there's definitely funk elements. It's primarily R&B. But then there's also a few pop elements coming in.
Yeah.
So that bridge,
yeah,
is I think what gives this album such broad appeal. This album peaked at number 9 on the US Billboard 200. Yeah, and you're not going to probably see that with any funk album, straight funk album.
There's a little bit of soul in there too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is an amalgamation of several different genres, and I think that's what gives it such a broad appeal, and what was able to hook two little kids like me and my brother. I mean, it's just this is fucking party music.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just you're walking into the jungle room and, you know, like there's leopard skin on the floor and shit like that. It's not like that kind of thing where it's real almost psychedelic. It's got a mainstream feel to it that anybody can kind of jump in on and enjoy.
You could even consider like early Michael Jackson's stuff is funk. Like, I was listening to Off the Wall the other day. That's very funky.
Yeah. That's actually my favorite Michael Jackson album. I know Thriller gets all the love because it was such a huge hit, but I'll take Off the Wall any day over Thriller.
It's like Marsha. Thriller. Thriller gets all the love.
Yeah, Off the Wall is kind of the forgotten middle sister, but that was produced by Quincy Jones too, coincidentally.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he produced Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad for Michael Jackson. And they don't sound the same. There's an obvious progression, and I think that's Michael Jackson's own creative influence, you know, wanting to evolve and do something different each time. So the Quincy Jones influence tends to kind of disappear a little bit with each new album, but you really hear it on Off the Wall. And that's probably why I dig that album so much.
What did you think of Bad?
I didn't love it. It wasn't as good as Thriller, and it definitely wasn't as good as Off the Wall. It's a very different, it sounds very different. One of the things that you notice right away about Bad is the digital synthesized elements. Especially in Off the Wall, you know those are real instruments being played.
Yeah, for sure.
There aren't any samples of anything. There's no like machines producing that sound. But you can really tell on Bad right away that it's a different sound. It's a electronic sound that's being produced, and it's just not the same. It's cool and it's interesting, but you can't replace real music.
Yeah. Well, so, they sure try nowadays with all these SoundCloud rappers, and that just turns my stomach.
Well, you know, Panda, who joined us on the first episode to review The Fly, she's really big on discovering new music, and so she's much better about that than I am. And so, you know, she'll actually pick up on certain artists on SoundCloud and stuff like that, like unsigned new talent and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I shouldn't generalize, but like, because there's a lot of great stuff currently. But you have to kind of look for it.
Yeah. You know? I know he's not like a new act or anything, but I really kind of dig what The Weeknd does.
The Weeknd. Oh, yeah. He just played the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, he does Blinding Lights and... Back to being what's that other one?
Oh, I like that Blinding Lights song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty catchy.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. And then... just once. Starboy?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. He's the closest thing, in my opinion, to Michael Jackson as far as that sound.
Really?
Yeah.
What about like a Bruno Mars? Wasn't he like basically he started touted kinda, as Little Michael?
Yeah, he started kind of getting there, but I just feel like The Weeknd, his voice has more of that high range to it than Bruno Mars does.
Where is Bruno Mars? Has anyone seen where in the world is Bruno Mars?
I don't know. Who'd you leave him with?
It wasn't my day to watch him.
Somebody get in touch with his handlers. We need to find Bruno Mars ASAP.
Yeah.
We're listening to the first ballad now. This is Just Once, featuring the debut of James Ingram. Oh, yeah, man.
This might be my favorite of the album.
It didn't do as well as... Yeah, it didn't do quite as well as 100 Ways, which comes up later. Other ballad. Just Once peaked at number 17 on the U.S. Hot 100 or whatever it is. I Know Corita, the song that we opened to, peaked at number 28. So Just Once and the other ballad, 100 Ways, both did the best as far as the singles on this album.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me, because it's James Ingram's on both tracks.
Yeah.
And he just, he really excels, I think. And those are my top two favorite on the entire album. Those two songs. I have a third one. We'll get to that. But he is the MVP of this album in my mind.
For sure. I think that this, along with the other ballads on R&B albums that we'll get to eventually, like from Lionel Richie and Kool and the Gang and Michael Jackson. All these albums featured ballads at some point. And I like to think that this is what made me such a sentimental motherfucker when I was a little kid. Even then, like, I was a hopeless romantic. And in like the first grade, I'm writing letters to girls trying to find that forever relationship in the first grade. Yeah.
Wow.
Just listening to songs like this, you just get that, like, all right, this is what I need to be doing. I need this kind of relationship in my life. Thanks a lot, James Ingram.
Yeah. First grade, huh? You're thinking, I need to get married. I gotta.
Yep. I need to find my true love. All right. That stuff. But as far as James Ingram goes, not only does he sound great, great pitch and everything, but he has that deep inside when he's kind of, you feel it, like he's pleading for someone to just understand him and
you know, whether it's... great voice.
Whether it's great, the forgiveness he's asking for, or he's just trying to communicate that love, you feel it from his performance. It's not just how good he sounds.
Right. Not to bring the room down, but recently passed away. He was in 2019. So.
Yeah.
All right. This one's for you, James. For
you. R.I.P.
this one's for you. We love you, man. We love
absolutely.
You. Quincy Jones is still alive, right?
I don't know.
I didn't look that up.
Oh man! Speaking of that, I'll get into something here real quick. But this is the title. This is the track. Betcha Wouldn't Hurt Me, which is another funky groove. It's not a favorite for me or anything, but
we're gonna get into the stretch of songs that are kind of meh for me,
and that's understandable, but man, I just love every single one of these. I get a childhood image of my dad coming into the living room doing this kind of snap walk. this was his shit right here, for sure.
Oh, okay. That was his jam?
Yep, absolutely. He was not a sentimental guy.
Oh.
He just liked to party.
Yeah.
Quincy Jones. So I was doing some research on this album, and I came across an article in GQ about him. At the time, he was 84 years old, and holy shit, you talk about a guy who has lived life.
Oh, absolutely.
If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend looking up that article. It's from GQ magazine, Quincy Jones, and
that's Gentleman's Quarterly.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And he's worked with and met and been friends with literally every person, not just music, movies.
Every person?
Literally every person. Every person you could name, like throw a name out of some famous person. Quincy Jones knows them.
Gotcha.
He's met them, he's partying with them, or he worked with them, or something. He was neighbors with Picasso.
Is that real?
What? Yes, he lived next door to Picasso. They used to go out to lunch together.
That's phenomenal. Wow.
He has cards, like, you know, Hallmark cards, greeting cards or whatever, from Picasso's wife that she would send their family.
That's fucking wild.
Wow. I know, man. Okay. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I am telling you, this man...
Did Picasso's house look all abstract in my mind? In my
weird
mind,
architecture.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a big dude. I didn't know this, but
Picasso's a big dude.
Apparently, that's what Quincy Jones said. Quincy said he wouldn't mess with him because that's a big, scary dude.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So apparently, wow. Picasso is a Brock Lesnar, so he can paint however the fuck he wants to paint. You're not going to tell him that looks weird.
No. Oh, it looks great. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great, Picasso. way to go.
Don't hurt me.
Fuck your shit up.
So does Quincy Jones, does he have a book? I would read that book.
Oh, I would too. After reading that article? Oh man, I was like, holy shit, this could be a book.
I wonder if he has an autobiography. He should. Somebody should jump on that, you know?
He did the soundtrack to Roots.
Ah, yes.
And
hilarious miniseries.
Well, the guy who wrote it, I forget his name, but he was friends with Quincy Jones, and that guy was helping Quincy Jones research his genealogy and whatnot. So they were working on a project to, I guess, put something together of Quincy Jones's own personal history. And I guess the guy passed away, so they were never able to finish that. Mm-hmm. This next track is Something Special, by the way.
Which is... very misleading. It's not anything special.
Speak for yourself, sir.
Sorry. This one was like...
It's sleepier. Okay. Yeah, it's definitely sleepier than the other tracks.
By the way, Slavery, not hilarious. I'm just trying to be funny. I'm dead silly.
Yeah, we're not saying Slavery is funny. Yeah, this is just like kind of a relaxed, kind of chill groove. You've had like quite a bit of funk. You've had like the emotional ballad. And I think this is a bit of a transition where, you know, a cool down, so to speak. Cool down match.
Popcorn match?
Yeah, this is the Red Rooster versus Bobby Heenan.
I'd watch that. Not going for popcorn.
I need to think of another example. Something with the Divas from like in 2012.
Bobby Heenan in that's in the singlet, the one.
Andre the Giant singlet.
Yeah, with the BH, bedazzled on there.
Yeah. You aren't hearing these notifications pop up on my computer, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
They keep popping up, and I'm trying to like silence them every time, and I'm like, holy shit, I hope this isn't coming through.
No, I'm not hearing it. I'm just hearing I hear you and the music. That's okay. It.
Just broke the fourth wall there, folks. Sorry.
Tape.
But, so I kind of teased off air that I had something a little incendiary to discuss.
Ooh, all right.
I sent you a picture of the album cover. Did you get that?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think of that?
It's very, I already used this word, but I'll use it again. Abstract, like very, I don't know, very artistic, I guess. Why is it problematic?
No, but, you know, the political correct culture that we live in that's gotten progressively worse.
By the day, sir.
If you cut out the little figurine that's featured on the cover of that album,
mm-hmm.
and you just pasted it somewhere, do you think people might have a problem with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have a problem with everything.
Now, why do you think they would have a problem with that?
Well, it is black.
It is black.
And it looks like a monkey?
Yeah. I was hoping you would go there.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, sir. It does, and I'm agreeing with you, it does. By the way, this is Razzmatazz. What do you think of this song?
That's my third favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Love Razzmatazz.
Now we're fucking talking. This is Patty Austin on vocals, by the way, and she did the song Baby Come to Me. You know that song?
I know you've
heard it before. Baby, come to me.
Okay.
Can you put your arms around me?
Okay, I got the melody.
That's Patty Austin.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's badass, and she does an amazing job on this song, and just the beat and everything, just fucking dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Are you good with like lyrics and stuff? I'm good with melodies. Like you did the melody there, and I was able to.
Yeah, I'm better with melodies. I'm better with melodies than lyrics.
I suck at lyrics.
Yeah, I can get lyrics if I listen to a song like 100 times,
mm-hmm.
and then I can the lyrics will finally start to sink in. But they'll even be then, like if I'm not reading the lyrics, even a song I've heard a million times, there'll be a few words that I don't know.
Yeah.
But I actually read a thing, and this is crazy because I feel like it's true. Panda, she gets lyrics like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'll watch her lip sync, and it's like perfect. She's saying exactly what they're saying in the song. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But I actually read a thing that said women get lyrics, and men get melody.
Oh. Okay.
Go figure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Science.
So put that to the test sometime.
Science. There's a little science for you.
A little science project for y'all to do at home.
You know, there was a buddy of mine in high school named Chris. We were in the theater
mm-hmm.
group together. So we would always sing like, we would always be singing, you know, like mainly Disney tunes and, you know, stuff like that. And Chris was, I don't know, he might have been the exception. He knew every lyric of every song.
kind of a savant.
And I was always envious of that. Like, wow.
That is cool. I wish I had that talent. Because I hate feeling like an idiot when I'm trying to sing a song and then a part comes up where I don't know the words and I have to kind of fudge it, you know?
Right, right.
Like a fucking moron.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even worse, man. Like, I could never be a rapper or anything like that, you know?
And of course that happens when you're in the presence of someone who does know the words and they're like, that's not how that goes. So anyway, my incendiary story.
Oh, yes, yes.
About this figurine. This figurine was a real figurine. That's not a piece of, like, what did they call it back in the day? Pick art or whatever on the computer?
Clip art.
Yeah. It's not that. It's an actual stone figurine. It's a sculpture.
Oh, okay.
That they captured for this album cover, and it was the inspiration for this album, according to Quincy Jones.
No kidding. So that's the dude?
That's the dude. Here comes, okay, 100 Ways, by the way. The other ballad on this album.
Oh, yeah. All right.
This was the one that, I mean, they're both great, but this was the one I was like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna give her 100 ways to know that I love her. She is my soulmate. But anyway, he was with Henry Mancini, so there's a name for you. And they were in an art gallery, and he saw this sculpture and said it spoke to him, and he had to take it home. So he bought it, and this was by a Zambian sculptor. And the name is Fanazani Akuda?
A what sculptor?
Zambian. From Zambia.
Oh, okay.
That guy's got kind of a cool story, too. But
Is that next to Zamunda?
Probably.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
And right next to, and then, like, just around the corner from Wakanda?
Yeah, Wakanda too. Forever.
Wakanda forever, brother.
Or is it Wakanda for never? I lose track of those two.
Could be. Oh, we know.
But this is an actual sculpture, and in Quincy Jones's mind, it had such attitude. You know, the arched back, the cane, the puffed out lip, and everything. And how it spoke to me, especially as a kid, because my parents had the cassette tape, not the record album, but the cassette tape, but it still had this image on the front. And we always thought it was a gorilla. We're like, why is there a gorilla on the front of this album? And my parents would try to explain it to me, like, no, that's the dude. That's, you know, it's just art. It's just the album cover. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But I mean, it looks like a fucking gorilla.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things that people get so bent out of shape about when you say stuff like that. But I worked at a job, and I'm a bit of an artist. I doodle, you know. Mm-hmm. People have complimented me on my art before on the quality of it and the creativity of it. I never took that to anything or did anything with it, but... But I could doodle, you know, pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I was at work one day, and I was doodling on my... this is at a restaurant. I was doodling on my ticket pad. And we talked before during the Heat episode about how at this restaurant, all the line cooks were black.
Oh, right. Parolees. Yeah. Right. The Mexicans did the dishes.
Yeah. So just to have some fun, I did almost like Fat Albert caricature sketches. Of all the guys, oh, okay. All the guys at work.
Oh.
And I showed it to them, and of course, they all got pissed off and kicked my ass. No, that's not what happened. Every single one of those guys fucking loved these sketches. They thought they were hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were, you know, the exaggerated lips, the exaggerated noses, you know, the fun, mm-hmm. the big. Puffy, funny clothes and shit like that. The funky hair.
Right.
They loved it. And it's like, this is this is humanity. This is what we do. We exaggerate certain characteristics of certain people because it's funny. Like, you can do that to any race. You can pick out certain characteristics, like Speedy Gonzalez, when you see him in his big sombrero and with his accent and everything like that, and his greasy hair and shit like that. Like, that doesn't bother me. Like, it's funny. Absolutely.
I always thought it was funny.
It's part of the culture. Like, nothing to take offense at. Like, everybody can pick out every culture and poke fun at a little something here and there. And that's mm-hmm. all it is. It's nothing to get bent out of shape about. And when you say, like, there's a resemblance to certain primates and to black people, mm-hmm. it's not because we like to make fun of black people. It's because it's fucking true. Like, I'm sorry, but that's the case. And it's
stereotypes are based in truth.
Yeah, and it, there you can't. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but there isn't. By the way, what we're listening to now is Velas. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. But this is just an instrumental track.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this groove too. It's not. There's no lyrics. And it's not like a dance tune or anything like that. But, like, it's probably a slow dance tune. Like, when you're slowing things down at the club and you want to, you know, sway from side to side with your lady. Perfect song to do that to.
Or ladies.
Maybe ladies.
Maybe you got multiple, you know.
Apparently, Quincy Jones had multiple. He said in that interview he has, like, 22 girlfriends all around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot to keep track of.
At 84 years old.
Oh, wow, holy shit. He's a regular Hugh Hefner.
But if you've got Quincy Jones money, you can keep that many women happy.
Right. So when was this article?
I wish I looked at the date, but I don't know.
Okay. 84, so he's got to be... He's getting up there, you know.
Yeah, but the reason why I mentioned it is because we talked about... age. I forget what we were talking about, but we started talking about age and how long people live. Mm-hmm. And he's 84, but I guess once again, when you got Quincy Jones money, he's plugged into the top medical researchers in the world and doing everything within his power to last long as he possibly can.
Right.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention that because, number one, to let people know where we stand on this show, The Final Say, you're going to hear some things that the current PC culture would deem unacceptable. But we don't, because we have common sense. And at the end of the day, common sense needs to win out over political correctness. Because common sense is forever. It was around before political correctness, and it'll be around after political correctness. And so if I'm going to choose one to side with, I'm going to side with common sense.
Common sense is forever. I like that. That could be on a t-shirt.
Maybe that'll be on the Final Say, the first release of the Final Say t-shirt. Because I can't do Raise Your Wrestling IQ anymore. This show has grown beyond that.
Right.
I still love that tagline, but we're about more than wrestling these days.
What about a Keep It Classic shirt?
I wouldn't mind doing one of all of these. Yeah. Keeping It Classic, My Musical Journey. I love these little subtitles for these.
Debaters.
Yeah, we definitely need a Debaters shirt. I can't wait to do our first episode of that. But that was Velas. What did you think of that track?
Okay. Yeah, nothing I'm gonna... It's not something I would play all the time, you know, but it works within the album, you know.
Now it's time to get back out on that disco dance floor with Turn On the Action.
Is this the last... This is the final track, huh?
It is. Okay. We've breezed our way right on through this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a, it, you know, 40 minutes. It's not long at all. Quick and easy listen. Before I forget, remember when you were on the Shining Wizards podcast like 4 or 5 years ago now, probably?
Yeah.
I think you called into one of their shows. And yeah, I get to talking and everything. And I think it was Tony. He plays the La Cucaracha. as you're talking.
Yes.
Now, you didn't get upset and hang up, you know, say fuck you and hang up and,
no,
you know, block those guys, you know.
Seriously, how long have black comedians been making fun of white people? And show the world we've
only just begun. I mean, forever, since beginning of time, well.
They talk like dorks, here. They can't dance.
I think of Richard Pryor's white guy voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now listen here.
He did a bit on a classic stand-up routine where he was like, I love when white dudes get mad and cuss. He's like, because you all some funny motherfuckers when you cuss. They say shit like, yeah, come on, peckerhead. You fucking joke off, come on.
Good old Richard stuff, Pryor. Man. I have his stuff on DVD. Like, I have live at, now I can't name it. Live on the Sunset Strip.
You're talking about?
No, stand up.
Oh, stand up, yeah.
Live on the Sunset Strip. Richie Pryor Here and Now. Or There and Now, whatever it's called. Yeah, but I got his stuff on DVD back there somewhere.
I can top that.
One of my boxes.
I think I've told you about my disc player. My movie disc player.
Oh, yes. Yeah, laser disc?
Yeah, well, I guess it was laser disc, but it wasn't really called that. Because okay. Laser disc came out later. So this wasn't exactly laser disc. I don't know what it was called. It was just called like a disc player. That's all we called it. Mm-hmm. But it had the big, like, record-sized LP cartridges that would have, like, the standard VHS box art on the front and back. But it was thin, like a record album. And you slide that bad boy into the player and pulled it out. And whatever was inside stayed in the machine. You flip the switch and it'd start playing. And one of the things I had on that archaic device was Richard Pryor live in concert, where he was in Long Beach. And
that's another one I have.
I fucking love that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I took that bit from.
So funny. Yeah, he's hysterical. And I love he's got some good movies too. I mean, I guess, well, Superman 3, he's the only reason. Yeah, like, he's one of the bright spots of Superman 3. Superman 3 is not great.
No.
Brewster's Millions was really good. I really love the concept of that, where you had to spend like $30 million in 30 days in order to get $300 million. You know?
Yeah.
The Toy with Jackie Gleason.
Familiar with the Toy.
That is very problematic.
we'll have a chance to talk about that, because that's going to come up on Keeping It Classic at some point.
Oh, okay, cool.
That was one of my first exposures to the female form.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you took a liking, yes?
I'd say so. But we'll get into that when that movie comes around. But that was The Dude by Quincy Jones, 1981.
Here we are. Just
flew by. I mean, you put that song on at a party, and this is what bothers me, right? You can't go to a club and hear that anymore.
No.
You go to a club and you're going to hear like fucking Bump and Grind and shit like that. But I tell you what, and I don't fit in at clubs. Like, if I go somewhere like that where it's all loud and, like, you know, they're playing that.
Yeah, I don't care for it either. So we're in the same boat.
But if you put that on at a club, holy shit, I'm all about it, man. I'd party to that.
You'd get down?
I would. I would do my best. I'm not saying it'd be good. Yeah. I'm not saying it'd be anything that anybody would want to record, or maybe they would to laugh at it, but I would just have a good time with something like that. And that's what kind of irks me, is that that kind of stuff isn't floating around on the club scene anymore.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I would love to see the kids these days have to use the technology, like what you talked about, the disc player, the eight track.
Yeah.
The cassettes, VHS tapes, Betamax. I would love to see how they would, you know, they got it easy.
Yeah, just lock them in a room, let them try and figure it out. That's the only way they can exit the room. That's like one of those exit room challenges.
That could be a show.
Speaking of 8-tracks and comedians, stand-up comedians, Sinbad had a good line. He's like, there was no fast forward. The whole album had to be good.
Exactly.
So anyway, we'll come back in just a little bit to close out the show. But what grade are you prepared to give?
Ah, yes.
To The Dude by Quincy Jones.
Gosh, it's definitely got to be. I'm not gonna put it in the A's. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But like, I love the ballads, James Ingram, the Dude track, the what's it called? I Know Corita.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
Razzmatazz
is a banger. But there are those tracks that really slow it down for me and just might bring down the grade just a tad. I'm going to give it a solid B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I have to admit, my ratings on these albums, because they're such a personal connection for me, are automatically going to be higher probably than most of what you give them, because, you know, sorry, I just bumped my
computer. I'm not familiar with, like, Quincy Jones's. Like, I'm familiar with Quincy Jones, the guy, but like, as far as his work, you know,
to be honest, neither am I. This is the only Quincy Jones album that isn't like from another artist or whatever,
right?
Because, you know, like we said, he produced Michael Jackson and stuff like that, but his own, that has his own name on it, as far as his album, this is the only one that I've really enjoyed in its entirety, and I've only listened to a couple of them. So that's on me. Like, at some point I might go in there and explore that catalog and maybe come out of it really loving some stuff, but historically this is the only Quincy Jones album that I've got any kind of attachment to.
Gotcha.
So you rated it at a B?
Yep, I'm gonna go with a B.
Okay. So for me, it's tough because I don't want to go overboard, because I feel like there's certain criteria that you have to take into consideration. Like, an A+ album should be an all-timer, and I don't think this is an all-timer. Mm-hmm. Like, Thriller would be an A+ album, even though I don't love it as much as, like, Off the Wall. I can't deny that. It's fucking Thriller.
It's a smashing success.
Yeah. So I do think there's certain criteria that has to elevate something to that A+ range. And as great as Just Once and 100 Ways are, they aren't iconic songs. They're great. And to me, they're iconic. But they aren't iconic in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that regard, I think the highest I could go reasonably is an A-. In okay. every other way, I think this album is about perfect because, like I said, you know, even the cool down tunes like Velas and Something Special, I feel like they fill out the album perfectly in that you can't just have banger after banger after banger. It's nice to kind of get that pacing and, you know, peaks and valleys. And so I feel like even those songs are incorporated well, even if they aren't on their own particularly memorable or stand out. So in that regard, I think as a whole, it's definitely an A-minus album for me.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough. I mean, so we don't do averages, but if we did, it'd be a B+, I guess, right?
Yeah, pretty straightforward. But yeah, so Jay's final grade for The Dude is a solid B. Mine's an A-, and hopefully you have either enjoyed this album again because you're already familiar with it, or maybe we've piqued your interest and it's something that you want to take and go back and listen to on your own and without us talking all over it and see what kind of conclusion you come to. But either way, I hope you've enjoyed our discussion of it. Jay and I will be right back to close out the show after this break. So sit tight, folks.
All right. Talk to you then.
All those moments we lost in time, like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, Handsome Dan Lopez, your host, along with Jay Chewbacca, and we just listened to and reviewed the 1981 R&B classic album The Dude by Quincy Jones, featuring James Ingram, Patty Austin, and a whole host of studio musicians who really put together one doozy of a party selection, in my opinion anyway. And Jay rather enjoyed it too. We both gave it pretty high marks. Jay ended up scoring it a B. I ended up scoring it an A-. Either way, it's not going to detract from the success of the album. I failed to mention as we were talking about it that it is certified platinum, so over 1 million units sold.
Nice.
The album itself peaked at number 9 on the U.S. Billboard 200, and in my opinion, it's of all the works that Quincy Jones, as far as musical albums that he's put his name on as his own piece of work, this is far and away the best. So we hope you enjoyed the listening experience, including our commentary over it. And like I said earlier, I hope that if you weren't familiar with this album before, maybe you'll go out on that limb and get familiar with it and listen to it without us. And enjoy it even more. So we want to let you know how to reach out to us. We hope you're enjoying the shows. Like we said, this has been a My Musical Journey edition, but the first couple of shows have been Keeping It Classic editions, where we discuss movies from the HBO and home video generation. And we've even got Raise Your Wrestling IQ editions of the show in store eventually. Mm-hmm. And
which I guess we gave them a little taste of that in the intro.
Yeah, a little taste so they know what to expect in those kinds of discussions. We just got to wait for a topic that we can really sink our teeth into. It's a little hard these days because I guess, Jay, you're a little more up to speed on the current product than I am. So maybe mm-hmm. you'll have to be the one to whose radar needs to go off when you've got something to discuss. And I can familiarize myself with whatever topic comes across your desk, and we can go from okay. there. But we got that waiting in the wings. And then, of course, eventually we'll be getting around to the inaugural mass debaters edition of the Final Say, which I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
Jay and I
yeah.
have an old fashioned face off, throw down, bare knuckle brawl. It's actually not going to be that intense. It's just going to be us in kind of a laid back discussion about a couple of our favorite things that are somewhat, to one degree or another, kind of at odds with each other. We've got things in the works like, you know, Street Fighter v. Mortal Kombat, Hulk Hogan v. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Wait, I have my Joker. You have your Joker.
Yeah, I'm representing Jack Nicholson's Joker. He's representing Heath Ledger. So we've got all those things coming down the pike.
Should I give away our big horror one?
Let's keep that under wraps.
Okay.
That'll be a teaser, giving people something to look forward to. As a matter of fact, that might be our first one since, you know, once again, peeling back the curtain a little bit, we have done these discussions in a different format. They never really made air for one reason or another. So we just weren't comfortable with the format at the time. We're trying it a little bit differently this time in our more natural environment and kind of the way that Jay and I usually conduct ourselves, which is in a very laid back fashion. That's kind of how we operate best. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's we did have some lost episodes, I guess.
They're floating around out there. Maybe someday they'll make they'll see the light of day, but it'll be sometime down the future. Maybe as a Patreon exclusive or something.
Ooh, yeah, someday. Who knows? But yeah, about that horror one, like it's gonna be a mind fuck of a matchup. Just to give you a little bit of a teaser there.
Yeah. But the idea is that, you know, with every piece of pop culture or significant character or whatever it is that we might be discussing, there's pros and cons on both sides. So rather than, you know, an all-out debate, it'll be more like, you know, each one of us kind of rattling off the pros and cons and achieving some sort of consensus when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely looking forward to that. We got the mass. I got the mass debaters Twitter.
Yeah, why don't you rattle that kinda off and your personal kinda, Twitter as well?
You know, kind of getting that going again. It's at Mast Debaters, MASKED. DEBATORS, Mast Debaters. I am at Tweets of Jay Baca. That's Tweets of JYBACA.
And you can find me at Dan's Final Say on Twitter. You can also follow the show on Facebook if that's your thing. Facebook.com/Dan's Final Say. And you can reach out to us long form if you feel like you've got a lot to say and not enough space in which to say it. Send us an email, dansfinalsay@yahoo.com. Anything else that you're involved in, Jay, or have been involved in recently that you want to make the people aware of?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. Of course, let's shout out the Midnight Jury, www.studios.com.
Nothing but love for those guys.
At Midnight Jury on Twitter, at what's the other one? Midnight Mike Show. Yeah, nothing but love. They're like our brother show, you know, so to speak. I got a shout out, Get My Go. I think I brought this show up to you.
Yeah.
Before. Basically it's a show where the primary characters on the show, you got Mike Durbin, you got Joe Feeney, and you got Husey, the Irish drunk. for he really is Irish. They parody the worst podcaster out there. Podcasters, sorry. Basically, it's like a Mystery Science Theater. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Where they riff on the bad podcast. You know, so Get My Go YouTube channel. I was at their Christmas party, all three episodes of that. That was a fun time. Midnight Mike was there too, as a matter of fact. I got nothing but love for those guys too. They're still going strong, like over 40 episodes in. That's really all. Here and there I interact with Conan and Disco Inferno on through their Patreon. I'm a big Vince Russo brand member. So there's that. That's really it. We should probably say the website, huh? dancefinalsay.podbean.com.
Yeah. So
where we're at right now.
Yeah. With regard to the show, very basic. And I have every intention of keeping it that way.
Okay.
Maybe if we get 100 episodes in or something like that, maybe we'll start looking at getting our own domain or whatever. But for right now, it's not hard, folks. Yeah. Everybody by now knows how to use the internet. They know how to use apps. If you're on your phone, you want to listen to the show, you're listening now, so obviously you know how to get it. But if you want to tell people how to get it, tell them they can pull up Podbean and search Handsome Dan's Final Say. That'll get you the show. Dan'sFinalSay.podbean.com if they're on a computer and they want to jump right there. That's how they do it. We are on Spotify. So if that's your preferred source of streaming podcasts, that's mine. That's how I usually listen to podcasts if I can. Search Handsome Dan's Final Say and you'll find the show. It's about as simple as it can possibly be. I don't have news and notes and current events and shit like that to post.
Yeah.
I want this to be as little work as possible. Putting these shows together is plenty to keep me busy. I don't need to constantly be shilling this show to people on a nonstop basis through a website or anything like that. When a new episode comes out, I will let people know and I will let the rest of you take it from there. This is a labor of love. Jay and I aren't getting rich off this deal. I just love having a platform to speak my mind. And I know Jay appreciates that and enjoys that too, because there is so much shit out there, literally, that I don't enjoy. There's very few things that I enjoy. And this is just me personally speaking. I know Jay's got a wider base of things that he likes to listen to and whatnot. But I am way more finicky when it comes to that stuff. And so I have like tremendous OCD to where when I hear people talking movies or talking wrestling or talking music or whatever, all of a sudden my bells and whistles start going off and I'm like, don't say that, say this or mention that. You're not doing it justice or whatever, or I'm just wired that way. So it's nice to have a place to vent and speak my mind. And that's really all this is. If people pick up on it and people enjoy it, all the better. But our hands are full. We do what we can. If you want to spread the word, we're not going to stop you. We appreciate any effort in that regard.
I want to mention Inconclusive Breakdown. I don't want to forget those guys.
Yeah, big shout out to Justin and Vince on that show. They have played my commercial for Handsome Dan's Final Say on every one of their shows since day one.
Yep.
And yes, even sir. Though the commercial is out of date because I'm no longer on WLW Studios and I need to get a new commercial for them to play. But you could still, anybody could still go to WLWstudios.com, and across the top bar there, you'll see Handsome Dan's Final Say. You can click on that and get the archives of all the previous shows and see what we're all about. If you really want to know thoughts on wrestling, go to some of those old archive shows, because I had a lot to say about professional wrestling back in the day. That was the main thrust of the show when it originally aired on WLW Studios. And it's evolved since then, but you'll hear a couple of Jay and myself and our early movie reviews on there. Some really, really, really fun ones that we did. But that's a great place to get a taste for that. And the Inconclusive Breakdown guys have been supporting me since day one, and I definitely appreciate them. That's why I play their ad on our show every single week. But holy shit, if you want a balanced perspective of what's going on in the world, you can't do any better than the Inconclusive Breakdown. You're going to get all the left leanings by just turning on the news every day. You're going to hear their slant and their bent and their perspective. So rather than go through the world like a dumbass, only knowing one side of the story, get a balanced perspective, listen to the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast, and then you determine what's right or wrong, or where the truth is somewhere there in the middle. They're not telling you to swallow everything that they're putting out. They're just telling you there's more to the story. And so don't walk around like a moron. Don't walk around like you're in They Live without the sunglasses. Get some perspective. Listen to the Inconclusive Breakdown, guys, and they'll make sure you get it.
At Inconclusive Pod on Twitter, by the way.
And the shows are available for download on Libsyn. I listen to them on Spotify. So search Inconclusive Breakdown on Spotify if that's where you get your shows. You'll find them, and you'll be the better for it. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Jay, before we sign off here?
No, that's it, man. Dan's Final Say. Podbean.com. We're up and running. You know, we're going, man. On Spotify, right next to Joe Rogan.
You know, we're hot on his heels.
Man. We're gonna take the throne. You know, I know you want to keep it basic, but you know, if we could take a shot at the throne, I say we go for it.
Sure, why not? I'll accept any accolades that anybody wants to throw my way. I'll accept donations. I could use a double cheeseburger. So by all means, hit up my PayPal, and I'll go have some lunch on you. I think that sounds like a good plan.
Right on.
So check us all out in all of the different places where you can find us, and check out the show. Next week, we'll be back with another edition. I'm not quite sure what yet. You'll have to wait and see. But we've got plenty waiting in the wings to keep you entertained and keep you interested. In the meantime, for Jay Baca, this has been your host, the smartest man not in professional wrestling and movies and music, Handsome Dan Lopez, and I have just had my final say. We'll see you next time.